The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome everybody. What a pleasure it is to practice together, you know, to have a community that we can practice together, no matter the conditions, right? And so Nikki and I, and I believe Liz is filling in for Nikki this week, we appreciate your making a little extra effort as required to get into the Zoom these days. Hopefully it's not too bothersome. But maybe I'll use this as a link into what I wanted to talk about today. And that is a little bit this idea that change, like we made a change to some of the settings for the Zoom meeting, but change is an inherent part of life. I'm not saying anything that we don't already know. That is, and change is, right, it isn't a problem. It isn't something that, you know, that we have to manage and we have to somehow take care of. And I'm just going to mute a few of you. Just some of you don't realize, but your background noise we can hear here. So I'm just doing this just for the purpose of the recording, so that the future you, when you come back, when you want to listen to this, that the audio is a little bit clearer. So change isn't a problem necessarily until it is, right? Until we try to control things. We want things to be a particular way, right? We know this, but we also want to try to control not only our environment, but other people. And you know, explicitly it might show up when we're doing our loving kindness practice, where we're wishing people safety and happiness and health and ease. But, you know, they, of course, are making their own decisions. Their life is unfolding according to how they spend their time, the decisions they make, the actions they do. And so there might be a little bit of our, if we're in a relationship with these people that we know them regularly, we might sometimes kind of have this, well, dang it, well, you know, your life would unfold better if it would go, if you would make these types of decisions or something like this. But equanimity helps us learn to let go of trying to control. Equanimity is a way in which we can have this open-heartedness that metta and compassion bring. But it's a way that we can have this impartiality, this spaciousness that's not indifferent, but impartial. This way that's kind of this restful, maybe cool, so not agitated and hot, but a little bit more kind of like sitting back a little bit about what's happening. Because we don't want to confuse equanimity with disconnection, which I think is where probably all of us at one time or another have this idea that equanimity is about just disconnecting. It's not, but we can feel the difference when we're disconnected. Then there's a certain like apathy, like, oh, I don't care, whatever, which is a different than a spacious warm-heartedness. Which has this connection, but also that comes out of the love of, I trust that things are going to unfold the way that they're going to unfold. May not match my preferences, may not be the best thing for you, but there's a trust in that things don't happen for magic, but they happen for reasons. I'm not trying to say that there's this big overarching reasons why things happen, but they unfold based on what decisions people make, not necessarily on our trying to control them, control other people, but what they do, what they say, how they think, the behaviors they have. So maybe I'll say just a few more words about equanimity. One obvious way in which we can develop it is just allowing it to, when it naturally arises with our meditation practice. If you meditate long enough, equanimity will make a showing. It just, you know, as the mind and the heart really start to settle, then kind of like the agitation settles, and then there's just more capacity to be with what is and to let go of the controlling. So one is just allow it to naturally arise. And then when it does arise, just to feel into it like, oh yeah, yeah, there's a little more spaciousness, ease here. And that this shows up in so many different ways, but it's, you know, one of the characteristics I would say is ease. Another way in which we might cultivate equanimity, and this may or may not be part of your meditation practice, is to just do a little bit of reflection that we know things change. And just sometimes we need to remind ourselves, yeah, things change. Everything is moving, vibrating, pulsating in a rhythm of some sort, right? Just different time scales, including, you know, with this, ourselves, our minds, all these things. So one is just to remind ourselves, just reflection, things are changing. Life is a mosaic of all kinds of things, right? Going from one maybe end of a spectrum to the other end, whatever that spectrum might be. And then the third thing that we can do is what we'll be doing some tonight is to intentionally cultivate equanimity. It's part of loving kindness practice. It's this where we spend a little time softening, opening the heart. And then change the phrases that really emphasize the connection, the warmth, and not the trying to control, but more the allowing, the just noticing and within a warm-hearted way. So we'll do this tonight with loving kindness practice. Often how I like to teach equanimity practice is to start with a loving kindness where it's easy, and then kind of relax, ease into that, and then open it up to equanimity practice. So we'll start a little bit with some mindfulness, and then we'll do some loving kindness, and then some equanimity. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do some practice. So, arriving at this moment, arriving here, arriving to this bodily experience. Feeling into what it feels like to be embodied at this moment. Maybe feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. Feeling grounded, feeling the feet on the ground. Resting the awareness on the sensations of breathing, feeling the stretching, the maybe the unstretching, whatever the word for that is, relaxing. With the chest, the belly. Right now, there's nothing else to do, nowhere else to be. We're just here now with the sensations of breathing. When the mind wanders, just very gently, simply begin again. And then to begin our loving kindness practice. As I said, we'll begin where it's easy. To bring into mind a lovable being. Someone with whom you have an uncomplicated, warm relationship with. Or perhaps imaginary kittens, puppies, babies, pets. And bringing this lovable being to mind, connecting with them, in a warm-hearted way. And as a support for this warm-hearted connection, I can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can expand our loving kindness to include ourselves, just like the lovable being. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Then to do some equanimity practice. This practice can bring to mind somebody that you care about and sometimes a little bit bothersome. Not the most difficult person, but somebody who's a little irksome. I will offer a few phrases. You can just choose one. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from difficulties. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from difficulties. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise. Things are as they are. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from difficulties. your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. Can we maintain a warm-hearted connection without trying to control, without getting off balance, just staying connected in a gentle, relaxed, easy way? So equanimity sometimes it's just helpful to be reminded that not only can we not control other people, control things, but also that also to recognize that it can be helpful to set clear boundaries too, for both for ourselves and for other people. You know, this is what I can do and this is what I can't do. This is what I can tolerate and this is what I won't tolerate. But equanimity is this way of staying engaged and showing up, but not getting tangled up, maybe. Showing up, but not getting tangled up in a way that's unhelpful. So it can be helpful to talk about these ideas with others. I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where we have an opportunity to discuss these ideas about equanimity. And maybe, you know, I offered four different phrases. Maybe there were some that resonated with you and some that didn't. We could talk about maybe which phrases were helpful or supportive, or and maybe even this idea that I started with, we did a little bit of mindfulness, and then I started with loving kindness as a way to kind of continue the settling process, but also to bring some warmth to it. So this could also be something you could talk about in your small group as this approach of going towards equanimity through loving kindness, like starting with loving kindness. So a number of things that you might talk about. Okay, so you'll be in groups of four, three or four. And let me just make one little adjustment here. Okay. And it's helpful to not say everything you know on the topic. And it's also helpful to not give advice to other people, but instead just to offer one point, like, okay, here's one idea. And then let it go to the next person. They make one point. And then it goes to the next person. They make a point. And then it comes back around to you. And then maybe you've been influenced by what you've heard. And now you have a new idea. So instead of a bunch of long monologues, it's just a collection of making one point. And then together kind of creating something new. And then after you've gone around a few times, if there's still time to then open it up for general discussion. This kind of allows the introverts and the extroverts to both contribute and allows us to be, to stimulate some new ideas rather than just telling our stories, but instead to have maybe something new that we hadn't thought of before. Okay, so here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Does anybody have any comments or questions or something they'd like to share? Any new ideas, something? Yes, Jerry.
Sorry if my camera is a bit, it needs to be cleaned up. I'm a bit fogged here, but anyhow, you get the point. I guess at the end, we were just chatting about how memory can play tricks on us. And I was thinking about that just at the end, because sometimes we tell ourselves a story about, well, this is the way it is. We want to remember it a certain way, and because memory can play tricks on us. And I was thinking about my work. I'm a psychiatrist, and you know, I try to help patients get better. And then a year later, they're telling me, you know, I've always been this way. They're better. And I said, well, you know, last year you were feeling suicidal. No, I wasn't. And then I get out the forms. It's, well, who filled out these forms? What? That's me? And I was thinking, my goodness, this is like, it's just, I don't think they're trying to be deceitful. I just think it's the way the memory reconstructs the picture that they're in. When they're feeling good, they've always felt good. When they're feeling, or maybe it's going to go away, but when they're feeling bad, they always felt bad. But it's not that, like, memory is malleable. Memory moves around. So, you know, maybe part of the acceptance we have that the way we're feeling right now, it'll probably change if you wait a minute. Anyway, that's all.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Jerry. Right? this thinking that it's always this way. Or when we're feeling good, we feel like, okay, now finally we're back to normal. All those decades of not feeling well, or I'm exaggerating, maybe it's not decades, maybe it is. Somehow that felt like an aberration, some detour. But when we start feeling better, we start feeling like, oh, this is the real me finally, or something. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jerry, for highlighting that. Yeah, the human experience, right? This is so much part of what meditation practice is allows us to see what a range is actually happening in each moment. It's not all good. It's not all bad. There's an awful lot of neutral stuff happening. And just to remind ourselves or tune into that. Yeah, thank you. Okay, well, we're a few seconds before the top of the hour. Maybe does anybody have a comment that they'd like to make before we end here?
One thing really quick. There are times in the meditation I wasn't hearing words, but I heard your voice, and the voice worked, and
nice. I'm assuming that was an okay thing.
Very okay thing. Oh, God. Hearing your voice instead of hearing mine? Oh, God, please.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. Okay. Well, what a delight it is to be able to practice together, and that here we are. So wishing you all a nice rest of the evening, or if you happen to be down under, a nice for the rest of the day. And if you'd like to unmute and say goodbye, we can say goodbye. So thank you, and goodbye.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Everyone. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thank you, Diana.
Good night, Jason.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, Molly.